conference is now being recorded. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Louise. On today's call, we have James Bladel, Greg Aaron, Joe Sansilver, Ehab Shreem, Paul Diaz. For staff, we have Marika Konings, Gisela Gruber-White, and apologies so far, we have Carl Ferrer. Still waiting to see if Dave Piscitella can join. Thank you.
Thank you, Gisela. Good morning or afternoon, everyone. And there's been some healthy traffic on the list, but for a proposed agenda today, I wanted to cover a couple of outstanding items very briefly, and then we can dive right into the text that's been circulating for Sections 5.8, 5.9, Section 8, and Section 9. So the first thing I wanted to discuss was Marika pointed out to me that we still have not substantiated or inserted, well, it looks like we do have some proposed text, but we have not inserted any reference to the Mannheim formula. And I embarrassingly admit that I'm not up to speed on where this was raised or where it was proposed to be inserted into the final report, either in line or as part of an annex. So I think, Joe, somehow I remember your name was attached to this. Can you give us a little bit of background and your recommendation on where this text fits?
Yeah, so just to recap for folks who may have forgotten, the Mannheim formula essentially goes ahead and looks at the number of ASNs and the number of IPs that are found when you resolve a given fully qualified domain name. And essentially what it does is weight those two things to go ahead and get essentially a final number, like let's say 150. 150 would actually be over the magic threshold that the Mannheim folks went ahead and determined. And as a result, you would go ahead and then say that that domain is indeed a fast flux domain. What's nice about that formula, of course, is that it's very easy to compute. It's very sort of robust to go ahead and actually evaluate. Very hard for the bad guys to go ahead and actually do fast flux without triggering it. So that was one of the things that we went ahead and looked at during the earlier work. I'm pretty sure I went ahead and shipped along info about where the formula came from in terms of the URL and so on. But if we need to go ahead and get that again, I'll ship it out again. And essentially, I think where it belongs in the report is where we talk about what is fast flux and how can we go ahead and detect it either on an automated or near automated system.
Okay, so it is a detection tool or proposed tool for detection, and you have a URL associated with it. It describes it in greater detail.
I do, and I'm afraid I'm pretty sure I shipped it along, but if folks aren't seeing it, I'll go ahead and ship it along again.
I wouldn't trust my records, Joe.
Did you reship it again? I looked for it the other day. I couldn't find it.
I'll go ahead and do that.
Okay. Joe, and then the question then to pose to the group is it sufficient to give a maybe one-sentence overview of the Mannheim formula and how it might be employed with a reference to the URL, or does it merit its own appendix or annex in the report? Does anyone have any strong feelings that it should or should not be?
I think it's, we should reference it if we were to want to recommend it, just to at least give the reader some background, any background.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very important piece of research in the field. I think we should definitely reference it.
And Mr. Murray, I think that was something of a support as well by Rod in one of his posts. But he suggested as well that it should be referenced somewhere in the report.
Okay, and you feel, Joe, that the most appropriate place is in the definition area or where we discuss characteristics of fast flux?
Yeah, probably just, you know, somewhere talking about how you can go ahead and spot the little buggers, because, I mean, that's really been one of the things I think has been a real thorn in the side of folks for a long time, is how do you know when you're seeing one? And the nice thing about it is if it finds it, it finds it. If it doesn't find it, it doesn't say, it's clean. It just goes ahead and says you need to keep looking. And that's sort of an interesting characteristic of it, at least that I find quite powerful. But, you know, like I said, let me send along a point or two. And if you want, I'll go ahead and see if I can draft like a one-page annex to go ahead and put into that as well if you want. So rather than junk up the main body of the report, we can have something pointing to it at the back.
I like that idea, Joe, and I'd be very appreciative if you'd be willing to take that on. We could probably put a breadcrumb of sorts in the appropriate section, and
okay.
then reference to an annex that expand out the description from there.
That'd be fine.
The second item is relevant to myself and the safe harbor provisions of the Ryan Haight Act. I did reach out to our legal team, and for those of you who aren't aware, the person who presented on this is on a medical leave right now from GoDaddy, and it's been very difficult to get those materials. I am still working on it. I haven't given up on it, but I certainly don't want it to hold up our report. So I would propose that if I don't have any materials on that by let's say by the end of this week, by Friday, that we discuss ways that we can either mention that, maybe get some alternative sources of information, or possibly exclude it from the report. I just wanted to get the group's thoughts on that, since we're having such a challenging time, and it's all on my shoulders, by the way, to get something on that, and I'm not coming through on that regard. So I just wanted to get the group's thought on how passionately we wanted to get that inserted, if it was just something we wanted to take a look at and discuss, or if it was something that we felt, you know, absolutely had to be part of the report.
James, it's Paul. Personally, I think it's a nice to know, but not a need to know. And if it's going to delay, ultimately, presentation of our final report, I'd say let it go.
This is Marika. I think the only point would be then, because I think we referenced it somewhere in the response to the public comment, so you know, my proposal would be then, if we don't have the information, it might make sense to take out that reference, so we're not stating anything that's either not correct or we don't know if it's correct or not.
That's a good point, Marika. Perhaps we can highlight that reference, and if we're not able to substantiate it, then we can strike that from the final report. Was that reference in the interim report, Marika, or is it something that we...
No, it's in the responses to the public comments. So it's basically in the response to 4A, where it's mentioned.
Okay. And did the commenter raise the point, or was it in our response?
It was in the response. It was, I think, a response provided by Rod, who then pointed basically to you, saying, well, I got that information from a presentation, so I think that's where he got the information from. So it needs to be verified, if we want to include it here. I think Rod already indicated as well it wouldn't be a big deal to take it out here. The rest of the response is still valid, and this was just an example, I think, that he provided or wanted to provide.
Okay. All right, if we can highlight that, and I'll just see if I can't, just for a couple more days, see if I can't round something up to substantiate that, and then if not, we'll, as Paul suggests, we'll move on without it. Okay, so that wraps up some of the loose ends, and now we can dive into the meat and potatoes of the conversation. There were some draft text prepared by Paul and I, and I think some others as well, and then there was some healthy discussion on the list. Any opposition to taking these in sequential order, or does someone feel that there's a more natural sequence that we should dive into these? I think that we've got about 45 minutes to cover four sections, so I want to make sure that we give them fair treatment, especially if any of them are particularly controversial.
This is Randy. I don't have any controversy, but I just joined the call. Sorry for being late.
Randy. Okay, well, let's just dive in with Section 5.8. And thanks to Paul, by the way, for taking this on. Appreciate your help on that.
No problem, Jay. Okay, you know, as I said, what I did is I went back to the traffic that we'd had and literally just cobbled together some draft text based on discussions we'd already had. I wasn't really inserting new stuff. With that said, you know, it is what it is, and there has been obviously a bunch of debate. You know, I don't want to color the discussion right now. I mean, what I wrote, I was just trying to be accurately reflecting what was on the list, what I could point to and say, look, this is here. For what it's worth, I would underscore, you know, the comments sort of in support of the original draft text or the original proposal I put together, supporting that as opposed to some of the criticism that's come since then. I defer to the people who are underscoring the importance or the points that were made previously. And without putting them on the spot, I mean, I'm thinking of Greg, Rod, and Dave. You know, I really trust their technical background and ability to, you know, if they say that things are unworkable or inappropriate or what have you for technical and practical reasons, you know, we've had a lot of debate about this over the course of the working group. And again, the text that I've tried to put together is just echoing what has already been said or written on the list. So, long about way to say, for 5.8 at least, you know, I would like to go back to the group and say, can we start with what was originally proposed? And I guess I'm not taking Mike Rodenbaugh's changes as a friendly amendment. I would like to leave it the way it was and open the debate up to from there.
Okay, and am I correct, Paul, that with regard to Section 5.8, and I'm setting aside the TTL discussion, that thread for right now, but with the discussion relative to 5.8, I see he said that he was in favor of or supported your language except for the last sentence. Is that correct?
I believe so, but don't want to put words in somebody's mouth.
Okay. I just want to. I'm actually not asking you to characterize my position. Just more, you know, where's the cutoff between Section 5.8 and Section 5.9? Because I think they started to kind of blend together on that traffic. So I was just looking here at one of his messages where he had some concerns about the sentence, the last sentence, which said that also solving for hijacked domains is a separate problem outside the scope of this working group. And that was part of something that you felt should remain in, Paul?
Again, drawing that particular sentence is drawn from a post that appeared on the list.
Okay.
And I think it really just drives at the heart of a registration versus use of a domain name debate. That
right.
was probably the context that it was intended to or was making reference to.
And this is Greg. You know, hijackings involve a whole other set of issues, which includes, you know, how does a registrant get that name back? That's, I think, out of the scope of what we're trying to do here. That also includes hacked domains, hacked registrar portals, et cetera, et cetera. It's out of scope for us.
Yeah, Greg, and that's a good point. One of the thoughts I had was that hijacked domains, to me, opens up a whole litany of possible problems where what we've discussed, if I remember correctly, the word we used was compromised domain, where someone has something, compromised domains or compromised websites. But I think that that's a good point, is that this starts to open up work ongoing right now in the RAP and then several other issues. I mean, it could even conceivably be part of the menu of the IRTP work.
Yeah, and by definition, fast flux domains are not compromised or hacked.
Okay.
Domains. They have to be owned and operated by the bad guy, basically. So, I mean, again, two different issues entirely.
Yeah, James, and for the group, I think it's important, a lot of the discussion on the list was posted under or in response to Section 5.9.
Right.
but the whole TTL issue and whatnot, the text in 8, I mean, obviously 5.8, 5.9 follows, and the way it was laid out, it needs to be taken kind of holistically. The two can't be separated. And for the you know, for the discussion now, for the focus of the group, I mean, we do need to come to some sort of consensus on what we say about TTLs. And then, you know, the first sentence proposed in 5.9 is really just a reiteration or a summation of what was said in 8, i.e., that these possible options, limitations, what have you, none of them were deemed appropriate or viable. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, just reiterate the debate that's been on the list, but, you know, rate limiting for TTLs throughout the course of this working group has been, you know, addressed and basically rejected. And, you know, at the 11th hour now, it's being, you know, resurfaced by somebody and you know, suggesting creating a whitelist and expanding ICANN, you know, saying ICANN would be responsible for managing this and whatnot. And, you know, I think in the context of a working group, we need to identify, okay, you know, where is there rough consensus? Is that a minority opinion of one? If so, you know, let's describe it that way. Change the text to say, you know, where the group basically stands on this, and move on. Because, you know, from my view, I think it, the body of comments that have appeared on the list, there is great consensus around the idea of rate limiting TTLs is not a practical approach, but there does appear to be a vocal minority that feels that, you know, this could be, and that's what the report, that's how it should be reflected. If I'm getting ahead of myself, please somebody jump in, but
no,
if that's the way it works, okay, let's change the text and say it that way, that most of us felt this, but there was, you know, a minority that felt pretty strongly this way, and, you know, draft it up so that it reflects the positions of the working group participants.
That's a good point, Paul. Thanks for bringing that up. Is there anyone on the call, I'm going to start this by asking just a couple of questions. Is there anyone on the call today that has not been exposed to this threat on TTL rate limiting? I know that several of us participated in that thread, but I just want to make sure that the folks that are on the call today that didn't participate at least were keeping up with that discussion. Okay. I'll take that as everybody is on there. Now, is there, I think that, you know, Mike has made his views expressed on list. Is there anyone on this call trying to determine what level of support we have for recommending that be explored further, or stating that it is just not a viable approach? Is there anyone on the call that, since Mike is not able to join us, that feels that they share Mike's views and that it is something that we need to look at as a potential way of mitigating or changing the economics of FAFSA? Okay, I think I'm going to take that then as rough consensus that most of the call feels, most of the participants on this call believe that that is something that has been reviewed fairly thoroughly throughout the report, throughout the deliberations of the past year, and that we don't feel that that's a path that we want to recommend as a group. However, that said, Marika, maybe you and I can reach out to Mike and invite him to write up his thoughts that we can include as a separate insert in this section 5, probably 5 points. But we'll have to figure out whether it belongs in 5.8 or 5.9, but give him an opportunity to submit a alternative viewpoint that differs from, let's say, the rough consensus that we've established here. Does that sound like a good approach, Marika?
Yeah, and we could maybe use the same approach as we've done in other parts in the report where we basically indented and put it in a smaller font to indicate that it's an alternative viewpoint.
Okay, if you have an example of that that we can like and say, would you like to express your thoughts on CTL rate limiting in something like this, and then just see what his response is.
Okay, I can send him a note.
Okay, and Paul, does that meet your concerns relative to Section 5.8 or 5.9 and just trying to establish where the support or where the rough consensus lies for that issue of CTL rate limiting?
Yes, it does, James. And what you just touched on, use the whatever format we've used previously, whether in this report or in other working groups, because, you know, ICANN, GNSO in particular, has really tried to make a point of demonstrating if there are differences of opinion, what those are, making it explicit. And so, you know, what you and Marika have just laid out makes perfect sense. Let's just be consistent however we've done it in the past. Give Mike the opportunity here. And obviously, once it's ready, share on the list, you know, what that'll look like so that if there are others who might be lurking and just tracking the list, they might want to weigh in, and it becomes more than an opinion of one. It might be a genuine minority opinion.
Exactly. And Greg, I hate to put you on the spot, but you were also pretty active on this issue. And I want to make sure that this is a binary question, that there is a the opinion that this is a viable solution, and that there's the rough consensus that this has been explored and ruled out. Is your opinion fit within that construct, or is this a separate opinion? Or I just want to make sure there are third and fourth options that we want to touch on as well. Or would you be happy with Paul's text the way it reads?
I'm going to have to look at Paul's text again.
Okay.
As far as the TTL thing is concerned,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's something that the group has discussed at length. I tried yesterday to lay out briefly the core issues again. Nobody has ever really refuted or had any issues with the material that I put into the registered constituency that explains how the TTLs work technically. My personal opinion is that limiting TTLs is out of scope for ICANN. And on top of that, it is a bad technical idea, and it's also probably an unviable idea for a variety of other reasons. For those reasons, I mean, my recommendation is that the group not make recommendations that we explore it or to say that it's an option, etc. I think that we have, I think there has been some consensus on the topic in the group in the past. I think that if somebody feels differently, they should write their own statement and put about it, and maybe include it, as you say, as a minority opinion.
Okay, thank you, Greg. So would you say that Paul's text for 5.8 is compatible with the registry position, the position of the registry constituency statement, and what your thinking is then for TTL? Or?
Let me. I'm looking at Paul's.
Okay. Well, we'll give you a chance to on that.
Yeah, I don't want to put you on the spot either, Greg. Just again, to be clear, there wasn't a lot of new writing on my part. I was just lifting stuff that came from elsewhere.
I'm looking at it right now, just to refresh my memory.
Okay.
I thought that your language accurately reflected the statements. I agree with your language. 5.8.
Well, this is Rod. I've been on the call for a little while now. Is this the language that was originally proposed? Is that what you're asking about? 5'8"?
Yes.
Yeah, and I didn't really have much of an objection to it either. I think it was pretty accurate for what the group was reflecting. I'm going to try and reach out to Mike a bit and see where he's at on this. I share Greg's opinions, and especially about viability. It's just impossible, given the way that the Internet works, to limit TTLs as a policy without changing the way we do everything, because of the lack of control, that there's no central authority for running DNS distributed systems. So I don't know where we can really do go with that beyond that.
Okay.
This is Randy. I also agree that restricting TTLs is really not going to be an effective solution. And it's really only a part of the component of Fast Flux Network. So I don't really have a problem with that. Maybe the wording might be changed, but I don't really see any reason to do that, to change wording.
Okay, thank you, Randy. Any other thoughts on the topic of the TTL rate limiting and our path forward that we're going to pursue? We're going to reach out to Mike and see if we can get him to write up a statement that encompasses his thoughts. But for the bulk of the working group report, we'll essentially sign on to the text that Paul has. And, of course, we'll get one more chance to review this in our next week's call prior to Sydney. But I just wanted to make sure that there weren't any other issues on TTL, or if there are any other topics within 5.8 and 5.9.
I'm sorry, James, go ahead.
The question
I had was about hijack domains, and unfortunately I had a class conflict with the spring meetings on the phone, and I don't really remember those specifically being brought up. If they were, then fine, but I really fail to see how those even factor into the equation.
Okay, thanks, Randy. I think that was what we concluded here a little bit earlier, so that's great. Okay, so aside from the TTL issue that we've already discussed, I think that we can go ahead and incorporate Section 5.8 and Section 5.9 in their appropriate places in the report, with the understanding that, as we discussed last week, that we will have a read-through of all the deltas from the interim report, and then we'll go through those next week and make sure that if there's any additional wordsmithing that folks would prefer, that we get those taken care of then. So that brings us then to 8, Section 9. Section 8 and 9, we talked about consolidating these. I'm still open to that, but I just wanted to take what was already in the report and sort of flesh that out a little bit more. Weren't any wholesale changes, but I did try to incorporate some of our discussions since receiving the last round of public comments. I noticed there was less traffic on this particular text, but there was an alternative version submitted by Mike that contained a few changes. I don't feel that any of them are particularly controversial. Maybe there's one deletion that I would like to get some clarification on what his thinking was on deletion there. But does anyone have any thoughts that maybe they didn't have a chance to express on the list or relative to Mike's version or the original text that I prepared? Does anyone have any strong feelings that there's something missing from this from these two sections? Or can we start to look at possibly including them in their appropriate points, and do we want to discuss them line by line? I'm just kind of throwing this out to the group on how much time they'd like to spend on Section 8 and Section 9.
Hi, this is Greg. I haven't had a chance to really examine Mike's comments that he sent out yesterday. So I'm going to have to take a look at his document markup.
Okay, thanks, Greg.
This is Bob. I just want to make sure that the comments, I hadn't had a chance to check my email. Did my comments actually make it through late last night?
Yes, I did see something like that, Rod. Just a moment while I pull that up.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Doing my morning thing right now, so.
Yeah, your comments, if I'm reading this correctly, the synopsis was something relative to the practical implications of whether a truly automated detection system could be effective, or whether it would always require some form of human intervention. Is that the right topic?
Yeah, that was the I had a few different things on there. I wanted to get a couple of particular examples in as well. But that was the first one. Basically, I think we did reach the group of consensus that any automated system would require some sort of human component as well to truly make a call on a Fastflux malicious Fastflux domain.
Okay. And what other, there were some other topics as well?
I had an example of, I was talking about mitigation, and that, you know, identifying Fastflux and malicious Fastflux is one thing. They still, you know, once you've done that, you still have to do something about that. We really didn't come to any consensus, I don't think, at least that was my impression, of who has to do what, or who should do what, or who would be in best position to do what, because there's various, various number of people that could be involved. But I wanted to point out that there were a couple of different efforts to address abuse in general, and malicious domain registrations in general that are underway or have been done either contractually at the registry level. I think that's an important example. And, efforts like what the APWG has been working on. So those are the areas I wanted to touch on, just as kind of the looking at potential recommendations, especially coming out of this, because there has been other work done on this currently to what's going on here.
Okay. And what you're describing there, going back to your first point about automated detection methods or automated mitigation methods, is part of the section that Mike's version is deleted, or that he's proposing is be deleted. So I think that that's definitely on topic for today. Aside from some other wordsmithing, he did mention something to the effect of a neutral expert determination on whether or not any complaints of malicious Fastflux exploits were valid. No further discussion on, you know, who that might be or what body might take the lead on that. But is that somewhat of a component of this idea that that there would be some sort of intervention required?
Our report says that Fastflux is a domain name use issue. So the question arises, is this idea in or out of scope for GNSO policymaking? Having an authority that can mandate stuff, I think it's out of scope. Now, if you want to volunteer to, you know, be in a program as a best practice, that's an entirely different issue.
Okay. And I think that we discussed here ICANN facilitating best practices. necessarily we don't use the word through policy or mandates. We use the word facilitate or serve as a coordinating body.
I don't know what that means, and therefore I'm nervous about it.
And this is Marika. This is something I think as well the group should consider on, you know, the section on next ideas. I think it would be important to make clear there whether these are recommendations, just suggestions, because the council will be looking at, you know, what this group tells them to do. And if these are recommendations, it's a normal or logical step for them to take that further and, you know, commission further work on these issues. So I think it's important to clarify what this section means. Are these the recommendations, consensus recommendations? You know, is there support for more for some than for others? Is this really just ideas and there's no overall support for, you know, which one should be taken further? So I think that's something that will need a bit of clarification.
Okay, Marika, to your knowledge, is there any... I'll skip that thought for right now. I wanted to go back to what Greg was mentioning, is that your concern, Greg, is that if we include language that either recommends or suggests that I can facilitate and coordinate industry and community groups to address the issue, that could open the door to other negatives or...
I think one of the issues is that I have never seen a mechanism at ICANN for doing such things, such as propagating and writing best practices. I mean, there have been kind of, but I mean, there are some IDN guidelines, for example. But
hey, Greg, this is Ihab. Is that a big issue for ICANN to have a start or a brand new way to look at things rather than the normal common practices that we have seen in the past? And not to go back to the TTL idea, of course, we all agreed not to have it, but that's why some of these ideas will never evolve to mature where we can tell ICANN to own something, and I think they should somehow become the leaders in the future in policy or at least aggressive recommendations to keep it open as is. And I'm speaking here in general, we should somehow push them toward at least putting some recommendations, making these groups, and then it will evolve and mature into policy making and the like.
And I think that this might actually be an issue for GNSO improvements and reform. Because what ICANN is set up to do is deal, there are structures in place to deal with policy creation. And those are fairly well understood and well defined, although there's also a set of efforts underway to improve that and revise it. I don't know if there's a mechanism, you know, Rod was asking, well, is there a way that I can kind of, you know, facilitate the creation and dissemination of best practices? Well, not in an organized fashion. You know, SAC will say, here's some things you ought to do, and they'll do a paper. You know, overall, I don't know what the mechanisms are, and if you ask ICANN to do something, I think you should be doing it within the context of something that is effective and is supported.
Greg, just to comment, I mean, following, you know, the presentation Margie provided as well on scope and policy making, you know, even though something hasn't been done before, it doesn't mean it cannot be considered, and definitely if there's a strong recommendation, as long as an issue is within scope for GNSO policy making, so within ICANN's mission and, you know, related to GTLDs, I think it is, if there's, you know, a recommendation for that, it will be considered.
What I'm saying is this is stuff that's not within policy-making scope, but it might be best practices.
Yeah, it might not be in scope for consensus policies, but it doesn't indeed mean that there cannot be, you know, recommendations for best practices or, you know, any kind of other collaborative...
I think everything that's outside of
the existing working group and PDP processes is pretty fuzzy.
Well, but a PDP is not limited to contractual changes. It can only make proposed contractual changes related to issues that, are within the picket fence, but a PDP can have as an outcome as well, recommendations for clarification of a policy, for example, or, for further research, or it doesn't necessarily have to make recommendations for contract changes if they're not in scope, or if it feels that another solution might be more appropriate or more practical or more feasible.
Right, and then that's... Yeah, and I certainly think, as a practical matter, the GNSO has to start to consider how to support those or not, and how many, probably there's also the question of how many activities are underway already under the GNSO and whether they can be supported, period.
Yeah, that's another question.
That's a question for the improvements process.
But again, I think that shouldn't limit necessarily the recommendations that this group feels are appropriate.
Yes,
that's another question on how it can be implemented, and it might be a question that the GNSO needs to say, well, we cannot do that now, it needs to wait, but I think, this group just needs to think about what it thinks is the best solution, if any, for the issue at hand.
To circle back, I mean, we've always said, we can make recommendations that best practices be developed. I think the question in front of us is the language about how we ask for that. What are we asking? So, James, remind me, what is the language that we have down on paper so far? Asking ICANN to something or other?
Let me get to that, Greg. It says...
which section is that?
This is in Section 9, and in fact, it's the very last one, and it depends on whether you're looking at my changes or Mike's changes. But the paraphrasing, it's something to the effect of... going forward, ICANN can explore whether it can practically facilitate. This is with response to a FastFlux data reporting system, or serve as a community coordinating body for industry and community groups to operate this FastFlux data reporting system. But hearing the discussion, Greg, one of my thoughts was. And just put it on the table for the group to discuss would be that we extract some of these issues of scope and what it is that we're actually asking ICANN to do and put that into a separate bullet point, which is entitled something like the role of ICANN and alternatives to policy, where we can be a little more specific about what the expectation for ICANN's role in this area would be, and maybe get some concrete examples or parallels from other industries of how it could maybe not generate or require different actions to take place, but help, by putting time on a schedule or, making SX sources available, et cetera, to allow these groups to form and develop their own best practices and then disseminate them within the ICANN community. So, I mean, that might be one alternative to pulling this issue out of several sections of the report and then highlighting it in the next step section.
Maybe that section wouldn't highlight, because I'm looking now, indeed, at that chapter. It actually doesn't talk about the best practices. It does talk about, working with other groups and, the data reporting system, but it doesn't actually specifically talk about that the recommendation might be, to gather or compile best practices that won't be communicated or disseminated or encouraged for adoption or something like that. So that might be something that, the group wants to consider as well, hearing the discussion now.
We can consider like an evolution of these groups to come up with these recommendations, and then ICANN can push these best practices as a step process rather than not doing anything, just to leave it open like that. I mean, we always give an exit to ICANN. I have a lot of respect for ICANN, but we give it too much exit. Without having any liability. Everybody has to be somehow liable on the Internet to improve things and to solve problems.
the proposal that we're discussing wouldn't necessarily let them off the hook, but would, in essence, ask for ICANN support in terms of resources, time, and leveraging their communication channels and their membership in all these various structures within the ICANN community, and saying, now ICANN, help us bring these folks together. We're not interested in ICANN developing the best practices itself, but this group can then develop the best practices, and ICANN can then help disseminate those throughout the community, but not necessarily take an active role in authoring them. And I think that you're correct in saying that we want to make them accountable and give them make some recommendations on what their role could be, and not leave it open-ended. But on the other hand, I think that there are some on the call, and I'm just being somewhat in a personal capacity here, that would be nervous about giving ICANN clear-cut instructions or marching orders on what it should be doing in this area, because they'll just turn around and turn that into future policy and perhaps other obligations for different parties in the community.
Do we all agree that if it materialized to a policy that helps the Internet, it will be good for everybody? And if that's one of our goals, then we should pursue it somehow, or at least discuss pursuing it.
And James, just to comment, I mean, ICANN is not in a position to unilaterally propose any kind of policy. If any policy would be developed in this area, it would have to be a consensus policy, so supported by all parties. So I just want to make that clear.
I just go back when all these techniques, fast blocks and the like, evolved. I remember these registrars not knowing what's hitting them. And when you speak with them, they all give you the same answer. Well, ICANN didn't tell me to do this or that. Or they hide behind excuses. And having, I know ICANN's best interest, of course, is to manage, these DTLDs and CCTLDs better on the Internet. But I think it will put them in a better position if they were to adopt some of these aggressive practices. We are suffering from these problems because nobody wants to own the problem. Everybody's pushing it away from them. And the best suited, probably, organization at the moment to tackle, at least, or confront some of these problems without enforcing them, at least via recommendations, is ICANN. And as Rob just said, no one owns DNS. And this is a problem, because no one owns it, and everybody has its own caching methodology, etc. So the problem will always mushroom to another problem because there is no central ownership, and probably the only central ownership that I see today is ICANN, at least from the perspective of domain name.
So what would be your recommendation then, in terms of additional language, how we can express that concern? Saying that that's a position that's necessarily shared by everyone on the group, but looking for a way to boil that down into something that we can include in the report or discuss and modify so that it achieves some sort of consensus.
I mean, something like we are, due to the leadership of ICANN on the Internet, we are recommending, for example, to establish these groups, and these groups will jointly put their recommendations forth to ICANN, and ICANN will publish best practices, which will we don't have to probably say the last part, which is the policy part, but that's where we are guiding ourselves to have some sort of order in the future, and that's done by policy. And ICANN is in a very good position to do that. They deal with all the registrars and registries and so forth. Now, they may not be equipped at the moment. We know that.
but it has to be equipped in the future to face other problems other than FastFlex. FastFlex is only an outcome of a certain protocol behavior that is allowed on the Internet, and we're going to see many of these in the future.
Okay, can I ask that, because we're running down to our last 5 minutes here, could I ask that you maybe put together some thoughts and some language that we can discuss on the list, and your suggestion on where it could be included in Section 9
that would
describe, you know, specifically what we're what your idea for how ICANN can be more active and more accountable and more, you know, basically on the hook for this issue, and that we can get that at least out on the list for description, and you know, and if it's something that we can modify so that it's supported by the bulk of the group, we can get it included. Otherwise, we can certainly offer a recommendation that's shared by, you know, half or part of the group.
Okay, I'll take care of that.
Okay. Well, we're running into our last 5 minutes here, folks, but I think we've covered a lot of our outstanding items for today. So as far as takeaways, I know that Joe was going to put together something on the Mannheim formula.
Working on that now.
Oh, multitasking, huh? We got you. Then Iyab was going to make some suggestions relative to Section 9 and possible next steps for ICANN. I would encourage everyone to please take a look at Section 8 and 9 if you haven't already. And if you have, if you feel very strongly about a particular section, or if you feel very strongly that something is missing, please do so. Take a look at Mike's message on this, because that incorporates both of our changes. I think my changes are in red, his changes are in blue. And what we will probably be doing then by the end of this week is beginning to pull all of these last few items together into a draft that highlights the changes from the interim report that we can discuss comprehensively next week during our call, but also hopefully on the list, you know, at the beginning of next week, and that we can have some sort of agreement on that. And in the meantime, this is not really something... an action item for the entire group, but I'll work with Marika and anyone else who's interested in developing a draft motion that we can put together and be prepared with that to be circulated and reviewed by the group as well.
Great.
Any other items folks would like to see covered today? Okay, well, thanks for your time, everyone, and you know, we're very, very near the end here. Let's keep pushing forward, and let's keep eyes on the prize. Thank you, everyone, for their time, and definitely for their contributions on the list. It's been a real spirited exchange this week, and let's keep it up for another week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay,
James.
Thanks, James.
Thanks.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.